Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Baked McBride Keeper League discussion show, where we talk about the keepers that were locked down this evening for the 20-man Baked McBride Baseball League. And one of those nights where we were all trying to race around and make trades, and shockingly, nothing happened over the last 24 hours. Heading into the keeper deadline, everyone stood pat. I know there was a lot of trade discussion today going on. We've already got one caller in the queue, but the call-in number, in case you need it, is 657-383-1999. Already joining me in the queue is Ryan Powell. How you doing this evening, Ryan?
Hey, how's it going?
Well, not too bad, man. Well, I mean, how did the off-season go for you here, and how do you feel like you shook out with your keepers?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was pretty quiet in the off season. I really liked my list going into it. I was pretty young, but I had some proven youth, if you could call it that. I wasn't really looking to do a whole lot. I pulled off a trade kind of earlier this past week and dealt away what I felt were a couple fringy prospect guys that may or may not crack the major league roster out of camp, and Hampson and Peter Alonso, and I was able to acquire some proven talent, although a little pricey. I was able to get Chris Davis, K.H. Davis. I was cheap enough that it allowed me to kind of make that move and take on a $34 player. Kind of rounded out my list at $105, and I've got a pretty good group of guys that I think were more proven and going away from a strategy that I typically would fall victim to, which was the unknown in the prospect realm. While I still have a couple guys like that, I think I was able to get more experience at a manageable price than the youth way that I've gone in years past. So I was pretty happy with how it shook out.
All right, sounds good. Let me bring in another caller here. Who we got here?
Hey, it's Tomlin.
Hey, what's going on, Dan?
Nothing, man.
Big money here. What's
big
up,
money.
Man? Been spending all your cash on keeper night. What was the inspiration for that decision?
Well, I thought to myself, if I'm going to be driving home next week, thinking about and looking at my roster, and I had these guys on it, whether I paid for them at the draft or paid for them before the draft, isn't that kind of what I'm going for anyway? So,
yeah,
screw it. Let's see if this way works.
Yeah, I mean, it's a way to go. I'll say that for it. Yeah, it's an interesting philosophy. I believe it will leave you very inactive on draft day. I'm assuming based on making this decision, you are comfortable with that choice.
Yeah.
So can we go over
is,
Tomlin's
man.
List real quick? I don't think I know who he has.
Yeah, he's keeping Justin Turner at $21, Giancarlo Stanton at $44, Christian Yelich at $31, J.D. Martinez at $26, Noah Syndergaard at $26, James Paxton at $23, Michael Givens at $6, and Jose Alvarado at $6, leaving him with $77 to spend on draft day to fill his clear 15 roster spots. So it's not the lowest we've ever had, but it's pretty close. So it will be interesting to see how he attacks it.
I'm good.
The draft starts at noon, right, Seuss?
He can roll in at 2. I think he'll be good.
Yeah, absolutely he could. Absolutely. Don't be in any hurry to get here, Tom, because you might not get anybody until about 2 o'clock.
I'm going to be spending. I'll be a one-for-one pretty quick.
Oh, man.
I can always trade. I can always trade.
Yeah.
People are going to want these guys all season long. So I make a 2-for-5 trade, and I'll be fine. I'm not even worried about it. Are you telling me somebody's not going to want Giancarlo Stanton?
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just interested to see how it works out for you. Dollar days aren't so fun for 3 hours. But, all right, well, I mean, I don't know if either of you had a chance to look at the list that were published, but the general plan for tonight was just for me to kind of go through each one of the teams and talk about what they did. And I'm just going to start at the top alphabetically with one of the newcomers this year, Jake Allen. He goes with Wilson Ramos for $16, Peter Alonso for $6, Garrett Hampson for $6, Jock Peterson for $9, Randall Reyes for $6, Derek Rodriguez for $6, Carlos Carrasco for $26, and Brad for $6. He inherited a bad roster, in my opinion, so there weren't a lot of things that he could do unless he wanted to go with very few keepers. I thought the trade he made with you was an interesting one, Ryan. It looks like Garrett Hampson's going to win that job and is stealing bases like a madman. So is there any remorse based on Hampson's performance in spring training on your part?
Not really. I mean, Hampson's I think he's missed the last 2 weeks with a hamstring injury, right? I mean, I don't think he came back this week.
He played today. Know that. He stole a bag today, too. I did see he had a good line today. I believe he's played the last 2 days, if I'm not mistaken.
He just came back. I don't, you know, but with the way the Rockies handle their players, I mean, the whole Ryan McMahon thing last year kind of, I think, illustrates a little bit about how the Rockies handle their young guys. I mean, he was kind of the man that everyone was talking about at first base, and I think it was Schmidt ended up keeping him, and I don't think he even really saw more than 150 plate appearances. That kind of factored in a little bit to me dealing Hampson, knowing that, again, McMahon was kind of in the mix at second base now, and he's got another year under his belt. I'm more or less looked at it as, you know, trading, you know, for power and giving up, you know, stolen bases. And maybe Hampson steals 50 bags and, you know, maybe Cage Davis only hits 25 home runs and I end up losing the deal. But I don't know. You know, I've always kind of gone with a certain method of my keepers in years past. And I guess I tried to kind of break my own mold, so to speak, and did something a little different. So we'll see what happens. I mean, Alonso, I don't think is really much of a factor in that deal. I think it was pretty much a Hampson for KH Davis deal, although Alonso could be good if he gets an early call in the first half of the season. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, what do you think, Zeus? What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting deal. I think Davis is fairly priced in that deal, and I think that if Hampson gets that job and runs with it, I think he can potentially be a really valuable player. So it's an interesting deal, and I kind of liked it when it happened from both sides, and I kind of understood it from both sides, because you don't get any more stable than Chris Davis. So it's you know exactly what you're going to get. I mean, that's been proven, the joke, the 247 thing. But there's something to be said for that kind of consistency, especially in a league this deep. So sure. I didn't think it was a bad deal either way. So who else did I bring in here? I brought someone in here. Hold. Who we got?
It's Phil.
Someone? Oh, hey, what's up, Phil?
What's up?
Hey, what's up, Phil?
So
what's going on? Is that Powell? Powell?
Yeah.
Is that here, Laird?
Yeah, Powell. We got Powell and Tomlin here right now. So.
Oh, Tomlin. Okay, cool.
And then next up is the person with the most money to spend on draft day, and we'll all be very entertained to see how that gets done before he passes out. Ernie has four keepers on his keeper list with German Marquez at $13, Kyle Freeland at $6, Aaron Judge at $16, and Francisco Mejia at $6. not going to spend a lot of time on this list. Obviously, Aaron Judge is very valuable, and I have no idea why he kept Francisco Mejia. Someone might have told him in a hallucinated state that it was a good idea, so he just did it. So, all right, that will move it. The timing is correct here as we've moved alphabetically into your list, Phil. You want to break down what your thought process was in keeping the guys that you kept?
Yeah, sure. I am pretty expensive. I realize that. I was okay with it. I just feel like in years past, I've tried to go as cheap as possible. It hasn't always worked out. Usually I'm finding that when I have money to spend, I end up spending it on stupid things like Clayton Kershaw, Miguel Cabrera, things like that. So I was like, I'm just going to, you know, hand tie myself here a little bit and just get some proven value. And I really went pitcher heavy, as you can tell. You know, Verlander and Cole together were 61, just the two of them. But I'm getting, you know, Verlander almost struck out 300. Cole almost struck out 300. And I just feel like they're really valuable. I think they're going to go, you know, they don't have, like, tremendous plus-plus value, but I really like having two you know, really good starters like that who are going to strike out the world. And that's why I was targeting Clevinger the whole offseason. I asked Nitz for him, and then Nitz dealt him to Garrett. And then I thought for sure once Garrett got his hands on him, he wouldn't give him up, but I got him from Garrett. So I really like Clevinger. I think he's a 200 strikeout guy as well. His peripherals make it look like he's a really good pitcher, and he's only 11 bucks. So I was happy to get him. VR is expensive too, but I just feel like he's on a terrible team and can put up really good stats, and I really need some steals. So I probably overpaid a little bit for that, but again, that's a guy who stole 60 bases 2 years ago. So I think it's a gamble. And then, you know, Knable and Diaz, I love having closers going into it. I love not having to draft closers. You know, Diaz is as good as it gets, and I think he's at a reasonable price. I think Knable looked really good at the end of last year, back to his 2017 self as well. And, you know, he had a fluke injury last year. That's the only reason why he crapped out. And, yeah, and then Voit and Smoke. You know, Smoke, I was between Strope and Smoke, but I just felt like with Strope's hamstring injury and his history with that, and the fact that Morrow's, you know, already throwing again, and there's just a lot of unknown there. And I really was going to keep him, but I figured Smoke is $5 more, but at least I know what I'm getting with Smoke. I'm getting close to 30 home runs, and I just wanted to take the sure thing. And then Voit, we'll see with Voit. You know, I think for $6, he's a good gamble. It looks like he's going to be in the cleanup spot actually for the Yankees. And I've kept Greg Bird before, and I know Greg Bird sucks, and his ankle's probably going to blow up, so I'm not really worried about Greg Bird overtaking him. And a lot of Voit's peripherals, he's going to come back to earth. It has to a little bit. But $6, I felt like he was worth the power risk. So it's kind of my long version of everything. But I think overall I really like my team. I think I'm pretty loaded pitching wise, so I'll be focusing on, you know, hitting and rounding out the staff. But yeah, I think I'm probably one of the more expensive ones, but I think I'm okay with that this year. What do
you
all think?
I mean, you're a little pricey, but you're actually, there are three teams that have less money with you than you in the draft,
really?
The
okay.
poorhouse is possessed by Dan Tomlin, so he thinks you're, you know, Rockefeller over there based with all the money you have.
I'm cheap.
Were
there any surprises on
there.
That list?
No,
like, was
I
there anyone
really
that you were
surprised.
Like, I'm really surprised you kept him?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it was I thought you would keep either Verlander or Cole. I was a little surprised you kept both, but I can I know this because I've already plugged them all in. Starting pitching is going to be a wasteland. So it's hard to argue with the logic. I mean, if you look at, like, the list of what's available, like, the guys that are in, like, the top 20, like, some of those people at the bottom of the top 20, I'm not all that excited about having them on my roster. And that's the top 20. I mean, so it's, it's really thin, so it's hard to argue with the logic, that's for sure.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, cool.
Okay, so let's move down to Jared Darling, who has, in my opinion, a very good keeper list, but it's a little uneven in some ways. He's got two prospects in Fernando Tatis at $6 and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at $7. Obviously very good players, but soon to be very good players, but neither one of them are here yet. Cody Bellinger at 11, very good value. Trevor Story, who he picked up in the only trade of the last 24 hours at 21. Mike Trout experience, which he's had since the beginning of Mike Trout's existence, at $41. Juan Soto at $6. Whit Merrifield at 11. And JT Realmuto at 20. The thing that stands out to me among this list, although I believe it is of quite quality, there are no pitchers on this list. So I am interested to see how he puts together a pitching staff essentially from scratch, because that is going to be a very difficult challenge based on what we were just talking about. So does anyone have any thoughts about that list beyond that?
No, I thought it was kind of interesting with the Tatis keep, considering what San Diego has already kind of at their major league roster at the moment. So I don't really know when Tatis is even going to see the Padres field. I mean, anybody have any idea what he's supposed to be doing there? I mean, he could end up sitting on Tatis for the whole season, I guess, which, I mean, that's fine if that's what you're gearing up for, but I don't know. That's an interesting keeping, I thought.
Yeah, I think you can, like, I think generally you can afford to keep, like, one of those guys, but keeping two and then still, you know, not knowing when either one of them is going to be up, you know, makes it real difficult in this league, because it's not like you can just go to the waiver wire and pick up some guy who's going to get regular at-bats in the bake. It doesn't work that way. So it'll be interesting and twofold there for him.
Yeah, that's what Phil and I kind of had that same discussion about keeping prospects and basically, you know, already going into the draft with, you know, empty spots and then trying to fill those with waivers or with, you know, the taxi squad. It's just tough to do. It's tough to overcome when you're already kind of in the hole, two players that, you know, are taking up dead space on your team. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he's able to kind of rebound and overcome that. Because, I've gone down that road before, and like I told you earlier, Suze, that was something that I really just didn't want to do this year or think about or worry about going into the draft. So, but he's a better player at this than I am.
I think Tatis, you know, this is, first of all, this is a vintage Darling list right here, like 100%. Like, he's all about, you know, getting those lottery tickets and just hanging on to him. I mean, that's obviously worked out well for him. I think that's good. I think I would argue that Tatis, man, I think he could have gone, especially if he doesn't crack the opening day roster, he could have gone for less. I mean, and the draft. I mean, if someone calls him out, you know, before the taxi squad, I mean, do you think he goes for more than six? It'd be close. Maybe he could go for three or four. I mean, he's still a prospect. So that kind of surprised me, but not really, because it's Darling. I felt like he's very capable of doing that. The one that surprised me probably the most was Realmuto at 20. I don't see a ton of value at that with that keep. Realmuto is great. I mean, he's going to be a stud. You know, he's sitting in Philadelphia now. I mean, compared to Miami, so I mean, he's going to be very good. But for $20 at catcher, I mean, maybe it's just catcher. I mean, I don't give, you know, two RAs about catcher. So maybe that's just me too. But I think what Sue said the most. I think him not keeping any pitching is going to that is going to be a very, very tough battle for him to, you know, tough hill for him to climb in the draft, I feel like. But his hitting is obviously pretty stacked. Those other guys, I mean, that's a great list otherwise.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the consensus there. Moving on. Oh, by the way, who do we bring in here?
Laird.
Hey, what's up, Laird?
What's going on?
Not much, man. Well, we've got Matt Duvall's list here now that we're working through. Luis Castillo for $11. Ronald Guzman for $6. Brian Anderson for $6. Eddie Rosario for $18. Patrick Corbin for $14. Josh Hader for $6. Sean Doolittle for $11. And Luis Urias for $6. Kind of a, I guess, a low-key list here, I think, for Matt. There's not a lot of firepower here, but does have some cheap saves potential and some pretty decent starting pitching at relatively low prices. So, once again, I think that'll be – what's that?
Seuss, that's not Urias. That's not Blinky Urias, is it?
No, that's Louis Urias. So, yeah.
Blinky,
yeah, that's
making sure.
Yeah. Blinky was kept, though.
Oh, he was
he
kept,
really?
So,
wow.
Yeah, he
wow.
was kept. So that's we'll get to that one later, but yeah, he was kept. So, like I said, there's not a lot there to really break down with Matt's roster. I think he moved a lot of his stuff to try to stay in place position last year. So now on to I was shocked with Matt Foy. We've only got two Minnesota Twins on this list, so I would have thought there would be more. Eduardo Escobar for $11, Jorge Polanco for $6. Shohei Ohtani for $11, Michael Pineda for $6, Tyler Skaggs for $6, and Carlos Rodon for $6. So that is Matt, a very cheap list. Oh, I'm sorry, and I forgot Jameson Taillon, probably the best keeper on his list, at $16. So quite a bit of pitching there, a lot of it that I think he's hoping hits, hashtag $6. So
yeah,
it is. That's what we're looking at here. Moving on to Al High, we've got. I think there's a lot of plus value on this list. I'm interested to see what he pieces together from the backside. To review, he's got Stuart Gannett at $19, Trey Turner at $21, Jerickson Profar at $6, Ronald Acuna at $11, Aaron Nola at $23. Blake Treinen, 22. Trevor Bauer, 17. David Dahl, 6. That is Alan Hyatt's list. I personally think this is a pretty solid list. It kind of hits all the marks. A little bit of speed. Some cheap guys with upside like Dahl and Profar. And obviously Acuna. A couple of top-flight starters and a closer to boot. So I think he's kind of covered his bases pretty nicely here. I was wondering what anyone else thought of this list.
I think that's one of the best lists. I don't know what the total is, but I think that's one of the best.
Yeah, he still sits with $135 left to spend on draft day, which is a little bit high, but there's some good talent on that list. So
he was probably the most active off-season individual in the league.
Yeah,
I mean, he was, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, he was making moves left and right. I mean, he was offering me trades and trying to get some other pieces and things like that. And so, you know, I was talking with Garrett about it, and Garrett made the comment. He said, you know, he must really like his list, because usually the guys that are the most confident in their list tend to be the ones that are the most active in the off season, you know, just because they're trying to get a little bit better in some spots and catch guys maybe while they're napping. So yeah, I mean he was active, and yeah, that's a good list.
Well, Laird, why don't you break down your list? And of course, the first thing that I noticed was there was no Nico Goodrum on this. I don't really know how Nico's going to recover from such a slight.
Well, you know, the bidding war commence when his name gets called out there. But my list begins. Let me get up here. with Brad Hand at 11, Jesus Aguilar at 6, Felipe Vasquez at 11, Ramon Laureano at 6, Mike Fultonewicz at 13, Colin McHugh at 6, and Lourdes Gurriel at 6, and Amad Rosario at 11. Off the top of my head, I'm trying to think here what the total is. It's not a very expensive list. I think I've only got 70 bucks. So eight guys are 70 bucks.
You have 190 remaining. Yep, 70 bucks.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm pretty cheap, which, you know, I actually, you know, Phil talks a lot about, and I kind of tend to agree with him a little bit, that, you know, keeping talent is, I think, more important than maybe keeping value with a league this deep. But over $2,000 are being kept this year, and I think that's a little bit higher than normal. So I'm hoping then that having more money is actually going to allow me to maybe have some more flexibility in the draft than in years past. But overall, I think I like my list. I didn't keep Nico. I didn't keep Kristen Stewart. Those were two guys when I traded for them I anticipated keeping. But quite frankly, I had too many middle infielders. I had to make some decisions and decided to go with the better players.
Yeah.
Right.
Larry, I think that's a pretty solid list, honestly. I mean, I think you do have a lot of value. I know, you've got some cheap guys. You got a lot of money to spend, but I think overall you have some good value. What was your thought on Fultonewicz? Do you think is that elbow concern you at all? I was curious to see if you were going to end up keeping him. I thought you would, but I was curious if it ever crossed your mind if that elbow
was
worrying you.
There were four guys. There was Gurriel, Fulte, and then Stewart and Nico that I was going to fill up my last two spots with. And I decided that I would just take a gamble on Fulte. It seemed like he's going to be ready for the second or third week of the season. And I didn't hear any panic coming out of Atlanta. It didn't seem like they were too concerned. So, you know, it's $13.
Yeah.
I wish it wasn't 13. I wish it was more like 7 or 8. I'd feel a bit better about the gamble, because if he can't pitch, then that's a $13 pitcher that I don't get anything out of. But so I'm keeping an eye on it. But overall, I think it was worth the gamble.
Gotcha.
I'm honestly more worried about McHugh. He was kind of locked in there as one of my keepers when I traded May. Getting McHugh, I thought was kind of a clever move on my part, because I think he's going to be a solid starter, but he's getting just shillelaghed right now in spring training. So I'm hoping this is just like a spring training quirk and he's going to be okay. But coming out of the bullpen, going back to being a starter, sometimes those are iffy scenarios. So I think I'm more worried about him than I am Fulte.
Gotcha. Probably $6, so.
Yeah.
Moving on to Kyle Neighbors' list, he goes with Jake Bauer for $6, Jose Ramirez for $16, Mookie Betts for $26, Michael Brantley for $16, Tyler Glasnow for $8, Archie Bradley for $11, Victor Robles for $11, and Andrew Benintendi for $16. Neighbors has $150 left to spend on draft day. So I really like this list a lot. There are not a lot of there's some real top shelf players here at some really good prices. So I'm sure he'll screw it up, but I think position heading into draft day, wondering what you all think.
Yeah, he's going to have to draft his entire infield. He's got Bowers probably going to stick at first base, but does he really want to stick Bowers at first? But then again, he's keeping four other outfielders, so he's probably going to have to. I don't know, he's going to have to fill in basically his entire infield. But other than that, yeah, he's going to have to get, at least one more closer.
He's
got a lot of value.
Yeah, got a lot of value. There's no doubt about that.
The average team is only going to have $130. hitting it, because there's only $2,600 left out there with 20 teams. So the average team is going to have $130 to spend. So he's got enough. I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to Steve Nitz. His list is Matt Chapman at 11, Blake Snell at 21, Tommy Pham at 11, Kyle Gibson at 11, Jed Lowry at 6, Harrison Bader at 6, Ross Stripling at 6, and Zach Wheeler at 6. I like some of the people on this list, and then some of them I kind of feel like they're guys that maybe he could have rolled the dice on and threw them back in the pool. I don't know if there was that feeding frenzy on Kyle Gibson in the auction, but maybe that's just me.
Should he have kept this guy, you know?
You know, that could be argued. I mean, it certainly looks like, I mean, when you break it all down, I mean, there aren't a ton of guys that are going to be available that are, you know, set closers. But if you listen to the ground a little bit, I'm not necessarily sure he's the guy. I mean, I think they may be splitting some of that with Minter too, and that might have been something that has to do with his thought process as well.
Yeah.
So we already went over your list. Moving on to Kyle Rego. He's got Javier Baez for $17, Matt Olson for $11, Teoscar Hernandez for $6, Chris Bryant for $26, Nick Denzel for $11, Matt Kemp for $13, Miles Michaelis for $10, Anthony DeScalcini for $6. We've got two questions for Rego's list to ponder over here. The first is Teoscar Hernandez. And I guess that's all I have to say about it. And can anybody make sense of why he made that trade late last night, to other than being a Cub fan, acquiring Chris Bryant for a cheaper Trevor Story? Does that make sense to anyone else?
Nope.
As I understand it, he must really think highly of Matt Kemp, but as I also understand it, Matt Kemp is basically in a platoon, like fourth outfielder role. So I didn't really understand it, because Story is like a top five, like on the player rater. I mean, Story is amazing, and he's cheaper. So I thought he kind of got hosed. I wouldn't keep Matt Kemp in a billion years. I also wouldn't keep Teoscar, and I also would not have kept DeSclafani. And yeah, so most of the guys, I guess.
I mean, it's definitely a buy-low situation on Bryant, at least in the market anyways. What he gave up wasn't buying low, but, the player raters and the rankings that I'm seeing on Bryant, you know, I'm thinking, okay, he was hurt last year, and he should be healthy now. He should be back up where he was, near where he was being ranked last year, and he's just not. So I'm wondering why that is. And I was trying to sniff around with Darling and get Bryant on a buy low situation. I couldn't do it, or whoever had Bryant. But no, giving up Story, that wasn't a buy low situation at all. Do you guys agree? Is the market kind of cooler on Bryant than it should be right now? Or
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair price for Bryant, but I mean, I think that where he's at right now, I think it's a very good price to keep him at. But it's what he gave up is a little bit too rich there, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
So, so then we move on.
But wait,
here.
Time out. Hang on, one real question.
Yeah.
Am I missing something with DeSclafani? Like, last year he pitched 115 innings with a 4.9 ERA.
I don't know what he's
projected with a 4.4? Okay. Anyway, I guess we can move on.
Yeah. Okay, so then we'll move on to pulls Schmidt's list, which everyone's excited to learn of his Nick Pivetta, Zach Elfin pitching strategy. Pivetta at 9, Elfin at 6. I'm interested to see how that all plays out. He's also joined on that list against illustrious Philadelphia Phillies pitching staff with Jack Flaherty, $9, Jose Berrios at $11, Malik Smith, $17, Mitch Haniger, $16, Max Muncy at 6, and Gleyber Torres at 12. Any initial thoughts on that?
I think it's pretty solid, except for the affinity for, aforementioned pitchers.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
What's not to love about Zach Elfin? That's what I want to know.
It's Eflin, first of all, you morons. It's not Elfin. I don't understand. I mean, when Paul said that earlier in the offseason, when he's like, I got this master plan that pairs up Eflin and Pivetta, and I'm like, okay, am I missing something here? Are you trying to acquire as many 4.24 ERA guys as possible on your staff, or what's the deal? So I don't. That's kind of a big question mark. The rest of the guys are solid. Barrios, Flaherty, you know, all these other guys. I mean, he's got a good, pretty inexpensive team. I just don't understand the pitching with those two, but that's fine. Small.
That's cool. All right, moving on to Dan Schneider. We've got Trevor May at $6, Cesar Hernandez at $10, Aaron Hicks at $11, Walker Buehler at $9, Tyler White at $6, Dan Murphy at $29, Eugenio Suarez at $23, and Yasmani Grandal at 13. Any initial thoughts there? On
I thought Murphy was a little overpriced, but, I mean, he could
really
be really good in Colorado.
I really love Dan Murphy, but I was hoping that that price would be a deterrent to throw him back into the pool. So I was disappointed by that personally, but yeah, like you, I thought 29 was a little steep there based on...
He'll be good, but that's fine.
He'll be good, and I think he can return that, but I wasn't sure he was going to keep him, and that's what he turned out doing. So,
is Trevor May the closer at Minnesota?
I don't know if we know that answer.
Yeah. He's in the mix, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, 6 is fine. So, it's fine to keep him at 6, but it's just ESPN seems pretty sold that he's going to be the guy. They project him for 30 saves, but everything that I'm reading out of there is just saying that they're going to have half a dozen guys. good old Rocco Baldelli not tipping his cap in this situation.
Right.
I think that's possible.
Right. So, but yeah, that's kind of a situation with him. Moving on to Todd Schwarzkopf, we've got Wilson Contreras for 16, Francisco Lindor for 26, Adalberto Mondesi for $6, Jackie Bradley Jr. for 20, Stephen Piscotty 16, Jules Chacin 11, Matt Barnes for 6. This is an interesting list. I'm going to not be directly mean about it, but Jackie Bradley Jr. for $20 is probably, in my opinion, the worst keeper on this list. But I think he's actually going to be okay this year, but I would have never even considered keeping it for $20.
No. Yeah. Bradley is not a good keep at all, and I could argue, and I still don't know why everyone has this raging keeper boner for Jules Chacin every year. I mean, someone kept him last year for $6, and now someone's keeping him again for $11. Like, why is everyone like? But he okay, that's fine. He's unspectacular, but that's fine.
Yeah.
That dude blows.
Yeah,
but. You could do worse, but I'm just saying I think he's awful. Anyway.
All right, moving on to Garrett. We've got Carlos Correa at 26, David Peralta at 17, Rafael Devers at 11, Nolan Arenado at 31, Matt Carpenter at 19, Gary Sanchez at 16, Hunter Strickland at 6, Charlie Blackman at 26. He has spent quite a bit of money, but he's got quite a few good players, so it's the board short. He is sitting with $108 remaining undrafted.
Man, 152. He's got some star power. I mean, I don't know about Strickland. I thought I read recently he was still a question mark as the closer, but if he does, that's fine. But I don't think I know Devers is for 11, I guess, is probably okay. But Devers really hasn't been that good since he's actually been playing a full season. And I traded him Correa because I agree with the fact that Correa is overhyped. I mean, he's never really been that good of a fantasy player at 26, but I see the allure of that. But, Arenado, he's got some good players, though. I still think the Gary Sanchez thing was just a travesty, but that's fine.
Well, he said he was going to get rid of one of those guys. I just didn't think he got enough value for that because we were going round and round and round about that. Because, Gary Sanchez did hit really well last year. So, if he duplicates last year's performance, he'll be all set.
He'll be fine.
Then we get to my list, which I don't really want to talk about, but that's things that happen. So I have Ozzie Albies for $12, Chris Paddock for $6, Eloy Jimenez for $11, Sir Anthony Dominguez for $6, Jose Leclerc for $6, Brad Boxberger for $6, Drew Steckenrider for $6, and the bane of my existence, Luis Severino for $13. All right, boys, let me have it.
Why not keep Polka?
What's that?
Why not keep Polka?
I don't trust him. And I don't trust the White Sox. Like, I think they're going to, dick around with platoons, even though it doesn't matter, whether or not the team wins. So, I like him fine, but, do I think he's going to hit 30-plus home runs? I'm not sure that's going to happen. So, and I was also very White Sox-y for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is a terrible team. I don't want, five White Sox on my people roster. Because I pulled Tim Anderson, too, because, I felt that's fair market for Tim Anderson, but I was just he's probably going to, walk two times prior to the All-Star break and hit, 30. And go through a week where he goes for 29 with 23 strikeouts, and it'll just be delightful. So,
how much more excited would you be for the White Sox this year if they actually would have gotten Manny?
Quite a bit, but I would have liked if they would have made Tim Anderson play center field and let Manny play shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been more fun for me because then we could launch Adam Engel into space, which is what I really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you could have brought Madrigal earlier too, probably.
Yeah, it's kind of a hodgepodge mess, but it is what it is. This has been a discouraging off season for me. Things have not worked out the way I hoped they did. So,
trades this off season?
I tried the damnedest, but things just kept happening to me that just didn't work out. It's the Severino injury really kind of cramped my style, and I think the most polarizing guy in this league might be Ozzie Albies. Like, some guys really like him and were really interested in him, and then, like, some guys were like, eh, you know, whatever. So, I mean, I thought I was going to go into this offseason with a bunch of closers. And